Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Here ends the reading.
Thanks, Eva, and good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. My name is Winston, if we haven't met, and if you're new to church, it's great to have you here. And it's great that I see lots of young and older faces, some that I haven't seen for a while, so it's great. So we're almost up to Christmas, and in our lead up to Christmas, as Ying's been saying, we're thinking about the topic of peace. Where is peace on earth? Let me encourage you to just QR code. Oh, it's going. Okay. Thank you. All right. So you can grab on your phone the Bible passage to look onto. I'm mainly going to focus on the first five verses this morning, but the rest of it should be a little bit helpful as well. So QR code. Then I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word that speaks through the ages, throughout all history. It's always relevant and it speaks of your mighty and glorious salvation to the world through your Son. So thank you. We get to think about it for a little bit this morning. Be at work, Lord. Pour your spirit into me, into every listener here. You know where each of them are at and what they need to hear, Lord. So please be at work, God. For your glory we pray. Amen. Well, this morning I want to talk about a very important element of peace, and that is the subject of hope. Hope and peace go together when you think about it, don't they? Where there is peace, there's usually hope. Where there is no peace, there's usually no hope. Where there is no hope, there is no peace. Peace and hope go hand in hand. At least that's how it often feels like, doesn't it? If ever there was a time that we needed both peace and hope, it's a time like now. The world, as we know, has been in such great turmoil and conflict. From February last year, you know, Russia invaded Ukraine and the Pope said the world is starving for peace. And then this year, the war still going on there, and October, you know, Israel, Palestine, like it's looking like never going to end there as well. And so where can peace be found? And I want to say that one of the really important things that we need in our lives to find peace is to have hope. Hope is so, so important. And we have in our Bible passage this morning a wonderful message about both peace and hope. This is the Christmas message. This is what we need to remember as we head to Christmas. The message of peace and hope has come through the birth of a very important baby. So please let me encourage you to have your Bibles open there. And let me take you to verse 1. Verse 1 says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Now that is a very loaded sentence when you think about it. So let me break it down for you a little bit. Firstly, as always, whenever you see the word therefore, you need to ask, why is therefore, therefore? So let's think about it for a moment. What it is there for is to link us back, to what the author, the Apostle Paul, has been speaking about in the last four chapters. And what he goes on to say now in verses 1 to 11 is to summarize, to a recap, if you like, those four chapters, to think about what he's been talking about, the gospel, the great gospel of Jesus Christ to bring salvation. We who are sinners, every human being, we've been given a salvation, a righteousness that didn't come from ourselves, but came through Christ. And then the second thing that he's going to do in these next 11 verses is he's going to tell us about the blessings which this gospel brings. So that's the link. Therefore, since we've been justified through Christ, you know, that's what he's been talking about for the last four chapters. So he's going to summarize it all over again, and then he's going to tell us what is it good for. And so firstly, we can see a summary of the gospel message through these next 11 verses. And this is pretty much, let me break down for you in two sections. First, there's a problem, and then there is a solution. The problem is we are all, it says verse 6, we're all ungodly, we're all sinners, and we're all enemies. And if you look back in Romans, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul says. Like, all of us fall short of the glory of God. None of us are righteous, not even one. We're all sinners. And so that is a great problem. And let me just point particularly to the word enemy, because that's ultimately, when we're left in our own sin, is God's assessment of every human being. We're all enemies of God. So let that sink in for a moment. Have you ever thought of yourself as an enemy of God? Because that's a pretty big statement to think about, right? That God would say you are an enemy of God. Now, why have we become enemies of God? It's because we were ungodly. We were sinners. What does it mean that we were sinners? What does sin mean? Sin is when we sin, it's when we say we want to live our own way. We don't want to live your way, God. I get to choose the way that I want to live. I can be who I want to be. God, you can't tell me how to live. And because of that attitude, because of our ungodliness and our sinfulness, God is angry with us. We became enemies of God. In other words, God was at war with us. And this, my friends, is why we need peace. We need peace on earth. And this is why we often can't find it, because as enemies of God, we've been broken in our relationship with God, separated from God, and we can't find peace on our own. So peace in our lives and in this world seems often so elusive. For modern history, as long as we can measure accurately, there's hardly been a day where there has been some sort of war on planet Earth. You know, we set up all these sort of United Nations and all these, you know, organizations that try to bring peace, but still we struggle to find peace. Peace is so hard to find out there, and peace is so hard to find within ourselves as well. You thought about that? Why is that? It's because of our broken relationship with God. By nature, we are sinners. We have sought after our own glory, our own pride, our own pleasure. We are selfish by nature. And our sinfulness brought so much brokenness into this world, and it's broken our relationship with God. So there is a solution. And the solution is there in verse 8. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. And that is what the Apostle Paul has been speaking about for the previous four chapters. That a righteousness not of our own has been given to us through his Son. Whilst we were sinners, while we were dead in our sin, God sent Jesus out of love to die for our sins. And so through Jesus Christ, we have our sins forgiven. We, in other words, it says we are justified. That's what it says in verse 1. Justified, just as if we didn't sin. So when God looks at us through the work of Christ, he sees us and he sees that, oh, there is no more sin. Because the sin has been paid for through my Son. He paid the price. And so now my anger is turned away and my face shines upon you. I look favorably upon you. When I look at you now, I see my Son. So through faith in Jesus, we are justified, treated as if we didn't sin. So Romans 5 verses 1 to 11 says that we have a problem and we have a solution, a summary of the previous four chapters. But it also tells us of the great blessing which the gospel gives us. And I want to highlight in particular today, as I mentioned, the two great blessings that Christ has given us. Peace and hope. So first we get peace, and it's a very special peace. It's not just peace from violence, but it's peace, it says verse 1, peace with God. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God. And this is the peace which we all really need, don't we? Where God says, the battle between you and me, the war that's going on between you and me, it's finished. It's over. There's now peace because the price has been paid and all is forgiven. All is forgiven. I mean, imagine the wars going on now in the world. If Palestine just said, all is forgiven. Or Israel said, all is forgiven. Ukraine said, all is forgiven. Russia says, all is forgiven. Imagine that. Well, God says, all is forgiven. Because my Son paid the price for your sin. And that is the peace that we need. Peace with God. We all need peace. But what we also are given in the gospel of Jesus is an incredible hope, true hope. Now let's talk about hope for a moment, because hope is what we all need, don't we? Some things are essential in life, you know, air, food, water, clothing. We need those things. But let me put it to you that we need hope. We all need hope. And our whole life, when you think about it, revolves around hope. Every decision that you make, every choice that you make, how you respond to every situation, every relationship in your life, it's filled by hope, isn't it? It's motivated by hope. It's driven by hope. You know, our happiest moments in life are the moments when the future is filled with great hope. When we graduate, or when we get a new job, or when we get married, or we have children, there's such great hope for the future. They are our most joyful moments. And also our saddest moments are when our hopes are dashed, aren't they? When we lose that job, or when we lose our spouse, or when we lose someone that we really love, we lose that opportunity. They are often our saddest moments, when everything looks kind of hopeless and we look into the future and we think, oh, we'll never be the same. I'm so lost. So let me ask you, and Rev Ying asked you all before this question, like, what do you hope for in this moment, right now in your life? What are you hoping for? Hope is about the future, isn't it? It's about projecting our lives into the future and being able to see if it's hopeful or not, whether it's going to be positive or not. What does the future hold for you when you think about it? Is it optimistic? Would you say it's optimistic? Or would you say it's not looking good? And I wouldn't be surprised if some of you are thinking it's looking like a struggle. Because as we look at the world around us, as I said, all the conflicts going on in the world, the wars, and just this, also this increasing anti-American sentiment, and you can might as well wrap Australia up in that as well. There's lots of tension and, you know, things are teetering. Who knows if it can get worse? If maybe within our lifetime we're going to see the next world war. Who knows? Who knows what the future holds? And when we look at the environment and you listen to the media and what the media is saying, mainstream media and social media, they all are saying the same thing. That maybe we're getting pretty close to the point of no return when it comes to climate change. You know, if things just get a little bit worse, then maybe we can't reverse it anymore. You know, when that little ecosystem breaks down, then it's going to affect another ecosystem and then it's all going to spiral. And the time for action is now. So who knows what the future holds? And then closer to home, when we look at our own lives and we look at the cost of living going through the roof, and we look at the rent going up, and we look at the mortgage interest rates going up. So statistically, like, October, like 12% of Australians are already in arrears with their home mortgage, struggling to pay the bills. So you can imagine the stress. I don't know, maybe it's less in an Asian church because, you know, we have good jobs maybe, but you can imagine 12% of Australians are like stressed out, thinking like, what am I going to do? Do I have to sell my home? And they're looking at the future because what does the future hold for me and my family? But here in the book of Romans, because of Jesus, we have incredible hope. We have peace with God, and that peace with God brings us incredible hope. We've been given a hope that goes beyond the here and now, beyond all the troubles of the present, and gives us a hope beyond death even, a hope for eternity. That is the hope which God has given us in his son Jesus. So have a look again, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we've been given this peace with God, and we have, down the bottom, we have this grace given to us through Jesus Christ. And then down the bottom there, we have this hope of the glory of God. Because we've been saved through Jesus, we have this future after death where we will see the glory of God. Even in the midst of our struggles, of our suffering, Paul says in the previous verses, in the next verses, sorry, this suffering before us, and you might be experiencing some of that right now in your life and looking at the future and just going, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. But God says there is a clear future. And one day, you will see the glory of God, even in your suffering, even in the midst of our pain and loss. We can see the future. We have God's peace upon us, and He has given us a hope through His Son. And verse 5 says, and this hope does not put us to shame. In other words, it won't let us down. It won't disappoint us. You know, this hope will come true. It will happen. Have you ever put your hope in someone and they've let you down? Probably almost all of us have experienced that. I remember, you know, I lent a work colleague back in the day when I was working in marketing, I lent this work colleague $100. And he said, don't worry, I'm good for it. I'll pay you back tomorrow. So the next day, I'm like, I need that money. But he was a no-show. He didn't even turn up to work. So there you go. That's gone. And then I thought, no worries. I'll get the money the next day. I'll trust him. So next day comes around. He was a no-show again. And he was a no-show for like 2 weeks. And the boss says to me, oh, don't worry about that guy. He's gone. I fired him already. He's, and he should have been fired. You know, anyway, so I've lost that $100 and that never saw him again. I caught him and texted him like, where's my $100? Let's meet up. And he never replied, you know, sad. You know, we put our hope in a lot of things, in a lot of people, and a lot of different things in our life. And often, those hopes let us down. They disappoint us. I remember like hearing about a sports chaplain. I was working, when I was a student minister, I was working for the chair of the Sports Chaplaincy of Australia. And I was at a talk and I heard a talk about this chaplain who, he was a chaplain in the Sydney 2000 Olympics, and he saw a lot of different athletes. You know, many of them, as you expect, you know, they trained so hard, they put their hopes in getting this gold medal, and their hopes were dashed because someone else beat them. And so they went to the chaplains and they asked for like counseling. What do I do with my life, you know? And, you know, would encourage them, you know, maybe you can try again for another 4 years and, you know, and those gospel opportunities. But the point I'm making is that this chaplain said, actually, the most depressed people, athletes who came to the chaplains were actually not the people who lost. It was the people who won. They got the gold medal and they stood on the podium and they got their gold medal and they sang their anthem and there was a moment of glory. But then the next day they went to the chaplain and said, I'm so depressed because I thought there would be more. I put my hope for this and I thought it would be, you know, their expectation was through the roof. But then in the end, it was this one moment and then it's gone. And it's only like downhill from there. See, we can put a lot of hope in a lot of things that let us down. But the hope of the glory of God, we will never be put to shame for having that hope. God says that hope will come true, because Christ died on the cross for our sins, and he didn't stay dead, but he rose from the dead to prove to us that he does have the power over death and the power to forgive sin. And he rose from the dead to give us peace with the Father and hope forever. And so one day we will see the glory of God. So as we head towards Christmas, maybe you look at the future and you go, I'm not sure what the future is holding for me. Maybe there's more suffering ahead. Well, I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep praying to your God, the God who loves you and has given you his Son. And I want to say to you, there's been different moments in my life where, you know, I looked at the future and I stressed out, like, what's going to happen? What is going to happen? And I just remembered some of those moments where all I could do was just get on my knees and pray. And there, God met me. And he reminded me of the gospel. And he said to me, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Because one day you'll be with me forever. So remember, as we draw near to Christmas, the birth of the Lord is the birth of both peace and hope. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your Son. We were so lost and so broken, so hopeless without you, God. We had no future, but you gave us your Son to give us peace with you. And you gave us true hope. You showed us your glory, and we will see one day your glory face to face, because your Son grew up, he died on a cross, and he rose from the dead. In Jesus' name, amen.